commit our time, please, to the Lord, a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence and for Thy goodness to us another day. Just be with us today. Give us help, O God, as we would seek to worship Thee. We ask, O God, that You'll pour out Your presence and Your power upon us. May we be very conscious that God is here. Be with us, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. We're going to commence by singing the words of Psalm 118. If you have it in your hymn books, it's page 111. Oh, praise the Lord, for He is good. His mercy lasteth ever. Let those who are of Israel say, His mercy faileth never. We're going to sing verse 1 to 9 of the psalm. Verse 1 to 9, Psalm 118, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Let's take the Lord, please, in prayer. Let's come to His presence and seek for His help and His presence with us today. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O Lord, this morning that we can draw aside into Thy presence. We thank Thee, O God, today that we can come and put our trust in Thee, and we shall not be ashamed. We thank Thee, O God, that even as we have been singing, Lord, that in our distress, when we called upon Thee, Lord, You heard us and You delivered us. We thank Thee, O God, today that our trust in Thee is always something, Lord, that is worthy. And, O God, we thank Thee today that You're never a disappointment. We thank Thee, O God, today for each one in this meeting house, Lord, that have trusted in Thee for salvation. We thank Thee, O God, for that time in our eyes were opened and our hearts were opened to see our great need of Thee. And Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today, Lord, that we come to Thee because, Lord, Thou hast bid us come. Lord, Thou hast made it possible for us to come. We come, O God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. We come, O God, offering unto Thee our praise and our worship. We thank Thee, Lord, today that Thou art worthy of all of our praise. And, O God, we come, Lord, with heart of praise and thanksgiving, Lord, for all that You've done for us. Father, we pray that You'll take up our thanks, Lord, even for Your presence and Your goodness to us another day. for watching over us, Lord, for the health and the strength you've given to us to be in the house of God. But many, Lord, of thy dear people are sick and unwell at this time. We thank thee, Lord, that you've so ordered our steps that we can be in thy presence and in thy house on this thy day. Our Father, we pray that you'll come and do our hearts good. Meet with us today, we pray. Oh God, we need thee. Lord, we all need to hear that word from God today. And therefore, oh God, we pray that you'll just, Lord, cause us to hear the word of God. We ask, oh God, today that you'll remove every distracting thought. And Heavenly Father, we pray that today we might be shut in with God. Our Father, we pray, come and speak to us. Lord, come and speak through us. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless every waiting heart, bless all that have been enabled to gather in the house of the Lord this morning. Oh God, we pray that you'll come and encourage our hearts and bless us, meet with us today, we pray. Lord, do our hearts good, we ask. Lord, there is so much to discourage us. Lord, so much to cause us to be downcast in these evil and wicked days. But oh God, we pray that we might get our eyes, Lord, on the Savior. Lord, that we'll see the one who sits upon his throne, the one, Lord, who is the majesty on high. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might see him in all of his glory, in all of his power, in all of his greatness today. Our Father, we pray that you'll remember, Lord, those who cannot gather with us today. Remember, Lord, so many who are unwell at this time. Lord, touch them in their bodies, we pray. Strengthen them, O God, we ask. Lord, lay thy healing hand upon them, we pray. And Lord, that very soon, once again, we'll see them back in the house of the Lord. Remember, Lord, those who are cold and indifferent to the things of God. Lord, those who once ran so well for God. Lord, lived for God so brightly. And yet today they're far from thee. Lord, run after them. O God, we pray that today, Lord, that you'll make them miserable in their backslidden state. And Lord, cause them, Lord, to be brought back into that right fellowship and relationship with thee today. Our Father, we pray that you'll remember, Lord, those whose hearts are heavy. O God, we pray that you'll draw near, Lord, to those who are downcast in soul. Lord, the burdens of life pressing hard upon them. O God, we pray that today they might, Lord, know what it is to encourage themselves in the Lord. Remember, Lord, those who are mourning today. We ask, O God, that you'll just, Lord, speak those words of peace and comfort to their hearts at this time. We ask, O God, especially that you remember our brother Stephen at this time, Lord, in the loss of his grandmother. We just pray, Lord, you'll draw near to him and to his mum and dad and to the wider family circle, we pray. And Lord, may they know the grace of God being their strength and their stay at this time of loss. Our Father, we thank thee today that we can lift up our eyes unto thee. We thank thee, Lord, today that we can cast our all upon thee. We praise thee, O God, today that we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Lord, do our hearts good, we pray. Meet with us, Lord, in this place. O God, we pray that this truly will be a Bethel to our souls. O God, this day, remember the going forth of thy word across the city. We pray, Lord, for our capital city today. O God, we pray that today you'll move across Belfast. We pray, Lord, you'll move especially, Lord, in this east part of the city especially. O God, we cry unto thee. Lord, move up and down the streets and the roads. O God, we pray for that sound of abundance of rain, even as we were thinking in the week past. O God, we pray, cause us to see the hand of God at work. Cause us, Lord, to see the forces of hell being driven back. And Lord, thy name being exalted. Lord, we just pray that you'll bless the going forth of thy word across our province today. Remember, Lord, in England and Scotland and Wales, we pray, Lord, for those who are serving thee there, faithful to thee. Remember our brother Philip today in London. Be with him and encourage him and bless him, we pray. And our Father, we pray that you'll remember, Lord, all those who are serving thee in the foreign mission field. Lord, draw near to them. O God, we pray that you'll encourage them wherever, Lord, thou hast called them and thou hast placed them. We pray, Lord, that they'll know, Lord, much fruit for their labor. We pray, Lord, today for those who are being persecuted for their faith. Lord, those who do not have the liberty such as we have, strengthen their faith. And, O God, we pray that even as we would consider the underground church today and the persecuted church, we ask, O God, that we might be ever more thankful for the liberties and the freedoms that we have this morning to worship thee publicly. So do our hearts good, we pray. And Lord, move in this place, we ask. And we will be careful to give thee the praise and all the glory, for thou alone art worthy. Hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're turning this morning to the book of 2 Kings. Once again, please, 2 Kings. And we're turning to the chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. Book of 2 Kings and the chapter 13, we come to the final study in the life of Elisha this morning. Having been here for this past number of months in this character, I trust that we've known something of the Word of God to our hearts as we've considered Elisha. We come now to his final words and to the final farewell here in 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13, we're going to read from the verse 14, please. 2 Kings chapter 13, and we'll read from verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bows and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands, and he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice, and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him, and said, Thou should have smitten five or six times, then hast thou smitten Syria, till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. When the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. But Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoash. And the Lord was gracious unto them, and had compassion on them, and had respect unto them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them. Neither cast he them from his presence as yet. So Hazael, king of Syria, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his stead. So Jehoash, the son of Jehoaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities, which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoash, his father, by war. Three times did Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts for his great glory and honor. It is our privilege to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. We're glad to see each and all who have been able to gather with us in the Lord's house, and we welcome you sincerely and warmly this Lord's Day morning. To those who are visiting with us, we welcome you as well, and thank you for being with us today. We're glad to see our brother Ben back out with us again after his operation. Glad you're on the way to recovery, Ben. Pray the Lord will continue to bless you. And to you all, thank you for being with us today. There's so much sickness, and everything that's going around is going around, and it's continuing to go around, and that many are unwell, but we're glad that you're here and able to meet with us in God's house. Also, to those who are watching online, we welcome you as well this morning. As a congregation, we want to express our Christian sympathies to our brother Stephen McVeigh. And we said this on Tuesday night past. Stephen's granny passed away during this week, and we want to express our sympathies to Stephen, to his mum and dad, to his family. And we pray the Lord of grace and comfort will be your strength and your stay at this time. The funeral service for Stephen's granny, the late Mrs. McVeigh, will be held on Tuesday in Clark's funeral home in Newton Ards at 11 a.m. And all who are free are welcome to that. Can I remind you of the meetings throughout today and the week that lies before us in the will of the Lord? We have our Sunday school over in Redburn at 2:30 this afternoon, and then we come back again here tonight for our gospel service at 6:30. I'll be here to preach. I'm going to speak tonight on Black Friday, nothing to do with any of the shopping deals and all of that, but speaking on that subject tonight. So I'll trust that you'll come back again this evening, and our brother Nigel Davidson will be here to sing tonight. Also, we'll have the season of prayer beforehand at 6 p.m., and we encourage you to come and join with us for our gospel meeting tonight. At 6:30 on Tuesday evening, that's the Explorers Club for the boys and girls meeting here in the church. And then on Tuesday night at 8:00, we have a deputation meeting. And this month, our sister, Miss Christina Logan, who works amongst the boys and girls across our province, Christina will be here to tell us of the work that she is involved in. She works under our mission board. And so I'll trust you'll remember that Tuesday at 8:00 for that deputation meeting for our sister Christina. And there'll be an offering taken up for that as well. Now, just to break into the announcements a little at this time, we have our calendars available for next year, the calendars that have the various scripture texts on for each month, and also the Christmas invitation cards for the various Christmas services coming up. I'm announcing that at this stage because on Wednesday, we're asking those who are available and free on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock, we could meet here at the church 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning, and we'll distribute as many of these around the local area as possible. I'm saying that to you now because I want you to take as many of these with you today as you need, and use them as a means of outreach even to your own family and to your own neighbours. So take whatever you need with you today, because maybe possibly after today they might not be available, because whenever Ronnie Whiteside goes round the doors, there's no stopping him, and he goes like a bullet, and Usain Bolt would not have a look in with Ronnie. So you take what you can today, and then if there's any left, we'll have them for you hopefully next week. But we want to encourage you to take those calendars with you, give them out. Also want you to take those little invite cards as well, please, as a means of inviting people along to these special Christmas services during the month of December. Why not just have one in your car or one in your purse, and you'll be able to hand it to somebody and just say, why don't you come along to some of those Christmas services? But for those who can do that, on Wednesday morning, we'll meet here in the church at 10 a.m. Friday night is presbytery meeting, and that will be held, God willing, this month in Newton Abbey. Then on Saturday morning, that's the seniors' Christmas lunch. We're asking all those of that particular age bracket, if you could be at the Martyrs, please, for 11:45 on Saturday morning, Saturday noontime. And there'll be a time of fellowship beforehand. The Reverend Greenfield is coming along to, I don't want to use the word entertain, but you know what I mean. He'll be along to sing, and I'm sure in his own his own personal way, Freddie will be able to keep us going for a little while, and then we'll be able to have something to eat after that. So if you're in that age bracket, and as we've said, we're not asking for birth certificates or whatever. I suppose a great way of putting it is, if you have got, or if you're eligible to get a senior card, bus card, well then that's you. So I know senior citizens are getting younger and younger all the time. So if that's you, then you are welcome. This is your invitation to come along on Saturday morning. Also to those who are coming along to help, appreciate that. If you could be at the Martyrs for about 10:45 on Saturday morning, just to get things set up, that would be much appreciated. But for the rest, for 11:45, 12 o'clock, and then all be over by around about 2 o'clock, God willing. Then also on Saturday, we have the men's night out, and we're going to meet at the Ice Bowl there in Dundonald at 6:45, please, and then a game of bowling or an hour of bowling, and then going over to one of the restaurants over in the Omniplex for something to eat afterwards. So, men folk, if your name is down, you've seen John about that, then please meet at the Ice Bowl for 6:45 on Saturday night. Now, you need to bring cash for that, by the way. You need to bring some money for the bowling and whatever it is that you want to eat as well. So please do remember that. And if you would like to go and you haven't spoken to John, then do that today. You'd be more than welcome to join with us on Saturday evening for that men's night out. Next Lord's Day, our services commence with our Sunday School Bible class at 10:15. Morning worship at 11:30. Next Sunday morning, one of our students, our brother Greg Gibson, will be here to preach. I'll be over in Donaghadee next Sunday morning. And then we have the Sunday School in Redburn, 2:30. And then we have the first of our Christmas services next Sunday evening at 6:30. Our sister Hannah Armstrong, this is Hannah's first time with us in Sandown. You'll be blessed by her singing. We'll be here to sing. And also our brother Philip Bowles, this is about his 100th time here with us. But he'll be here to sing and to preach as well next Sunday night. So I trust that you'll join with us, make these services known, and use them as an opportunity to invite people in. Thank you to all who have brought in their shoeboxes for our shoebox appeal. This is the last day for that. Over the next week or so, we hope to get those distributed to the Belfast Homeless Services, who will distribute those shoeboxes to those most in need. And we appreciate all that have helped in any way. And again, this is a means of outreach because of the tracts that are going into the shoeboxes as well. And we want you to pray that the Lord would use that gospel outreach to speak to someone that would probably never come in through the doors of this church or any church. That even as they get the gospel literature and get the various items to help them in a practical way, that the Lord would speak to them and that the Lord would save them. But thank you for your support of that appeal. Missionary Council retiring offering a few weeks ago, I forgot to announce it, was £222. And thank you for your giving. Can I remind our elders and deacons that we have a committee meeting on Thursday, the 8th of December, Lord willing, at 7:30. And then on Saturday, the 10th of December, that's our Sunday school party. So please, all young people, remember that. Do remember those who need our prayers. We've said a lot in the congregation who are unwell at this time. Pray that the Lord will be near to them, touch them, and strengthen them. We also want you to remember the students, while the rest of us are partying and celebrating Christmas, they've got their heads down doing exams. So Lord bless you, Adam, especially. And all the students as they really enter in now to 2 or 3 weeks of heavy going as far as the exams are concerned. Pray for them that the Lord would give them much needed help as they seek to do these exams. Still copies of our brother Sam Houston's CD available, price £10. We want to get rid of all of these, so you take one with you today and you can pay at another time. And also still some copies of the LTBS magazine there, £5. And you can take those with you as well. Do remember the offering boxes are available as you leave for your offerings and your tithes. I think these are all the announcements, and as always, they're made subject to the will of the Lord. I want to sing another hymn at this time. It's not a hymn in our hymn book, but it's a hymn to a tune that we will know very well. I was listening to this hymn during the week, and I thought we would sing it today. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow, his head with radiant glories crowned, his lips with grace o'erflow. This points us to Christ, the one who is the majesty on high. No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. It's to the tune of Oh for a Closer Walk with God. So the tune will be familiar, and let's do our best as we sing this hymn together. The words will be on the screen. Turning back, please, to 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. We want to consider very simply the title this morning of the final farewell as we conclude our studies in the life of Elisha. But before we come to the Word of God, let's seek His help, please, in a word of prayer. Let's pray that the Lord would be pleased to speak to us and speak through us this morning. Our eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee again that we can draw ourselves into Thy presence. We thank Thee, O God, today for the One who is the Majesty on high, for the One who is altogether lovely. And Heavenly Father, we pray that today You would be pleased, Lord, to reveal Thyself to us. O God, we thank Thee today that Thy Word reveals Thyself. Therefore, O God, today, reveal Thyself, we ask. Speak to all of our hearts. Lord, we need Thee today. Lord, we need that Word from God. Heavenly Father, we pray, therefore, be pleased. Lord, speak into the hearts of each and all today. Lord, for those that are saved, we pray, Lord, that we will hear the voice of the Lord calling us, and Lord, challenging us today. And Lord, for those who are still out of Christ, we pray, Lord, that today they might hear, Lord, with that inner ear, Lord, believe with the heart. And, O God, we cry unto Thee today that salvation will come and visit this place. We just look today to Thee today. Give us, Lord, Thy help that we need. O God, we pray that You'll help us, Lord, to rightly divide the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we cry unto Thee, Lord, we pray that we might hear Thy voice. Lord, come and be one of our number. Give us help in the preaching and give us help in the hearing. And, Lord, be all to us that we need today. Hear and answer prayer, but we ask it in Thy name and for Thine honor and glory alone. Amen. Amen. Some 50 years have now passed from we last read of Elisha. Last week we were in 2 Kings chapter 9, and we come now to 2 Kings chapter 13, and in the intervening periods there is a period of some 50 odd years. Elisha now is an old man, and as we read, he will shortly leave this world behind. Yet what is interesting and intriguing about the life of Elisha, even on his deathbed, is that here was a man who had still not lost his fire or his fervor for God. Elisha was a man who had been greatly used of God. And how, even on his deathbed and through his death, God was going to reveal His great power one final time. Elisha, as we have seen, as we have noticed, was a battler. He was a fighter. He was a man who was wholly given over to the Lord. And yet the advancing years did not dim the passion and the purpose that he had in his heart for the work and for the cause of the Lord. Now, in those intervening years between 2 Kings and chapter 9 and 2 Kings chapter 13, we do not hear about Elisha. But what we do read about is the nation of Israel having been weakened. Part of their land has been taken by the Syrians. In the earlier part of chapter 13, in the verse number 7, we read that the Israelite army has been depleted. In verse number 7, we read that they had 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, and 10,000 footmen, for the king of Syria had destroyed them and had made them like the dust by threshing. They weren't really much of an army now at this stage. And now the man of God, Elisha, the man that God was pleased to use in a great and a mighty way, lies dying. Yet the Holy Spirit allows us to have this ringside seat at the deathbed of this man, Elisha. Because Elisha receives a visit from no less a person than the king of Israel, Joash. And as he enters into Elisha's room where this dying saint was, Elisha, with whatever breath he had left, engages Joash the king in conversation. And in his words, we have Elisha's final farewell. We have his final sermon. And it is the final words here of Elisha that we want to consider as we bring our studies in the life and character of this man to a conclusion today. The first thing I want you to see here is his godly influence. His godly influence. Throughout our studies in the life of Elisha over the past number of months, we have seen that Elisha was a man who was known in the land as a man of God. The Shunammite woman clearly knew that Elisha was a man of God, but not only her, but all of the nation did. He was a man who had exercised great authority in his ministry. A people and a man who knew his people and the people who knew the man. And yet, the years of time did not diminish this godly influence. Because I want us to see how that even on his deathbed, this man has a tremendous godly influence. We see it first of all in the tears of the monarch. Look at verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick, and his sickness whereof he died, and Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face. When Joash came to visit the dying prophet, he is moved to tears at the thought that this man of God, this man who was known for power and authority in the land, now lies dying. Now, even the very fact that the king would take time to come and visit Elisha shows how much influence for God this man had. It would have been most unusual for a monarch to pay a visit to any of his subjects, least of all a prophet of God. Yet in spite of this, Joash felt compelled that he had to go to Elisha when he heard of his sickness. Of course, Elisha's life and work was not one that was appreciated by the various kings that he served under. Some did respect him, but many wanted nothing to do with Elisha through his ministry. Some even wanted to kill him, as we found out last week. Yet through all the kings that he served under, Elisha remained true to God. Elisha didn't try to alter his message or try to appease the king, whoever that was, to try to get on their side. Elisha remained true to God whether his service for God was liked or disliked. Elisha knew that society and those in authority, they might applaud you today, but they could attack you tomorrow because of the fickleness of humanity. But you see, Elisha wasn't about pleasing man. His life was taken up with doing the will and the work of God, whether man liked it or not. And as such, he gained the respect of this king. You know, folks, what a timely reminder that is for us today. May we not seek to please man in our living for God. Now, it is true that we should not go out of our way to be unpleasant or antagonistic or hostile to the ungodly, but neither should we alter our beliefs or standards to try to gain the applause or the acceptance of this world. The standards of this world constantly and continually change, and what might be acceptable today may not be and will not be acceptable tomorrow. Yet the Word of God is our absolute and unchangeable truth, and we must stand by its veracity and its authority. Whether man likes the Word of God or not, it doesn't matter. And I'm sure I don't need to tell you today that you can try to keep man happy all you want and try to keep those in authority happy all you want. You might keep them happy today, but probably tomorrow you'll not. Elisha was unchangeable in his outlook and in his preaching of the Word of God. He certainly preached the word when it was in season, but also when it was out of season. And surely today, even in our province, we are living in an age, in a generation, when as far as the things of God is concerned and the teaching of the word of God is concerned, the tide is well out. But that doesn't mean that we alter our preaching. That doesn't mean that we alter our beliefs. Sad to say, there are those within the professing Church of Jesus Christ, and it seems that they're bent over backwards to try to gain the acceptance of the world. And sadly, they're dishonoring the Lord at the same time. We're to honor God, whether the world likes it or whether the world doesn't. You read the various kings of Israel and of Judah as well, and you'll see how that the Holy Spirit records that they did that which was right in the sight of God, or they did that which was evil in the sight of God. And throughout all of those kings that Elisha reigned under, he did that which was right in the sight of God. He did right by God. You see, Elisha had a godly influence, and that influence moved this monarch to tears at the thought that he would no longer be there. Joash was grieved at the thought that this man of God would no longer be in the nation. Elisha made an impact for God, and surely that should be the desire of every Christian. Whether we're in full-time service or not, it doesn't matter. Just by our lives, others should know that we belong to Him. It was Murray McShane who died even before he reached his 30th birthday. Yet he was sold out for God, and he said that we are to live as if to be missed. That's not a desire for pride, but a desire to press on and to live on for God. We see His godly influence in the tears of the monarch. But we see His godly influence as well as in the tragedy of the moment. Because Joash continues in verse 14, and wept over his face and said, "O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." Here is Joash, and he's realizing, well, once this man goes, the power and the influence that he had will be gone. He had a great respect for Elisha. He saw how that Elisha was used of God to protect and fight for the nation. He saw Elisha as the chariot and the horsemen. The clear allusion, of course, is to the battle scene. And he saw Elisha as that man who was mighty in battle. And that all the armies of Israel, all the armies of the enemies were no match for Elisha. Now, of course, sadly, this realization came too late for the king. But nonetheless, it came. You see, Joash knew that there was a man of God in the land and in the nation. But now that man is dying. And he fears for the nation. Here was a man who realized that the weaponry and the armory of the armies of Israel were no match. Nothing compared to the power of God. One commentator said of this statement that he perceived that especially in seasons of distress and anger, the strongest pillars in the bulwarks of state are not politicians and wary diplomats, but men possessed with the soaring wings of faith and prayer and who are at home in the house of God. Joash realizes that this mighty man of God had a tremendous influence for God in his time and in his generation. And yet even in all of that, he missed the point. Because yes, Elisha was greatly used of God, but ultimately it was the power of God. It was the Lord working in Elisha and working through Elisha. But the point is that Elisha was a man that God was able to use. God, Elisha was a man that was wholly given over to God. Elisha was a man who didn't fear the people. He feared God. And he desired to serve God. And as such, this was a man that God could use. And God did use him. Are we the people that God can use today? In the 21st century that we find ourselves in today, are we the people that God can use? Are our lives wholly given over to God? Are we those vessels that the Lord can flow through? Or maybe we're too busy and too preoccupied with other things. And the things of God take a poor second, third, fourth, final place, maybe. Elisha was sold out for God, out and out for God. And folks, that's the sort of people we need to be, on fire for God. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. We're not to get our roots too deep down into this world. One day we'll leave it all behind. And the only thing that will count in the eyes of God is what we've done for Him. We'll not be called to give an account about how many sports we were involved in and those things that take up our time throughout the week. We'll be called to give an account, what did we do for God? What service did we offer to the Lord? Only one life, and it will soon be past. And it's only what's done for Jesus will last. Do we not need to get back today to basics in our living and our serving God? Yes, of course, we have our businesses, our employment, our families, and our homes. But have we lives that are sold out for the Lord? Have we? Elisha had such a godly influence in his land. May God give us such an influence in our land and in our day as well. We see his godly influence, but I want you to see, secondly, his genuine interest. His genuine interest. Because even on his deathbed, Elisha still had a heart for the work of God. Look at verse 15. Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. You see, he still wanted to see the enemies of the people of God defeated. He still wanted to see the cause of the Lord advanced and the opposition overcome. As we think of this genuine interest, I want you to see here the challenge. You see, Elisha on his deathbed was challenging the king. Keep on fighting. Keep on battling. He challenged Joash to take up the fight against the people, the enemies of God. Elisha had lost none of his vision or his vigor for the work of God. He wanted to see the work advance. And he challenges Joash, get to battle. You see, Elisha realized that even though his life was coming to an end, there were still battles to be fought. The very act of shooting the arrows towards Syria, that was a declaration of war against the enemy. And even though he had seen off the armies of the enemies before in his lifetime, he realized there's still going to be battles to fight. You see, Elisha acknowledged. And in these words, in verse 15, he was giving wise counsel. And he was acknowledging that as you live for God and as you do the work for God, it's never going to be easy. It's never going to be easy. The Christian life is a battleground. It's not a playground. Every day we're battling against sin, the flesh, and the world. every day. And how often do we face our battles in our living for God, and it's just one thing after another. And as soon as one battle is over, there's another one not too far away. Elisha realized his life might be coming to an end, but there were still battles to be fought. Dear Christian, we are in a warfare every day. And we need to be on the offensive as far as the battle is concerned. Too often we can find ourselves on the defensive and reacting. But what was Elisha challenging Joash here? He was challenging Joash to take the very battle to the gates of hell itself. Because the Lord says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But we as the church are to take that battle to the gates of hell. We're to be on the offensive. And so Elisha tells Joash, go to battle and go now. Open the window and shoot the arrow. Look what happened in verse 16. He said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. As Joash took up that bow and arrow, with that declaration of war and that intent that there was a battle, Elisha put his hands on the hands of Joash in a symbolic act to remind Joash he wasn't alone in the battle. And folks, today as we fight and we battle for the Lord, we're not alone in this battle. We do not fight alone. We do not fight in our own strength. We fight in the strength that the Lord gives us. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. We're not alone in the battle. If you serve God, as you live for God, you're not alone. God will work for you. And God will fight for you. His genuine interest here, we see its challenge. But we also see the confidence. Because look at verse 17. And he, that is, Elisha said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. Before the battle was even started, or before the Syrians even retaliated, Elisha had this confidence the battle's already won. Joash believed that all was lost. That this man of God and his soon passing would signal the end for the people. Elisha knew that while his life might be ending, his God lived on. And that God had given the deliverance in the past, and that God would give the deliverance again. And folks, today we need to be not discouraged, and it's easy to be discouraged in our living for God, but we need to be encouraged. Because this battle's not ours, it's the Lord's, and He has already won the victory. David, as he faced Goliath with confidence, with boldness, not in himself, but in the Lord, he said, the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into your hands. The victory's been already won today. Christian, as you go out and live for God, as you go out and seek to do anything for God, you're on the winning side. It might not seem like it. Satan is already a defeated foe. The head of the serpent has been bruised and wounded, and one day Satan and all his hordes will be cast into hell for all eternity when Christ will ultimately and publicly triumph. Christ has won the victory today. May the Church of Jesus Christ never lose sight of that fact. We're not on the losing side. And as that little hymn that we've referred to in the past, speaking about the book of Revelation, says, I've read the back of the book and we win. We win today. One day every knee will bow to Him. One day every tongue will confess Him. And one day every evil and wicked ruler and person of this world will be cast into hell for all eternity. We shall be ever with the Lord for all eternity. Elisha knew that his confidence was in the Lord. There's the challenge in this genuine interest. There's the confidence in this genuine interest. But as we come into verse 18, I want us to see there's the criticism. The criticism. Elisha has just given Joash this tremendous word of encouragement. Thou shalt smite the Syrians in verse 17 till thou have consumed them. The king of Israel didn't believe and didn't take Elisha at his word. You read verse 18, he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. He just fired three arrows and stayed or stopped. In other words, he gave up. He gave up in the battle before it had even barely commenced. We see in verse 19 that the man of God was wroth, was angry, because he showed a lack of commitment and dedication. He was half-hearted and he lacked commitment to the cause and to the work. He smote thrice and stayed. He went all guns blazing for a little while, then he stopped. Gave up. The challenge was great, the commitment was lacking. Elisha was angry because of this lack of commitment. And if you claim to be a Christian, your life and my life, your service and my service by God should be marked by commitment. There's one thing I ask of you as your minister, as your pastor, it's commitment, it's steadfastness, it's faithfulness in the work of God here. This is where God has placed us. This is where we must serve and fight and battle for the Lord. Here in this part of East Belfast is where the Lord wants you and me. Therefore, here we need to serve the Lord and commit to the work of God here. Oh, so many, so many have come and gone. Oh, they started well. And over the past 9 years that I've been here, there are some that come to mind, and they started well. But like Joash, they stayed, they stopped, they gave up. For whatever reason, lack of faith, the battle was too great or whatever, they gave up. We are not just to pay lip service to the work of God. We are to be steadfast and faithful to the work of God here. Elisha criticized Joash for his lack of commitment. Oh, may we commit ourselves to the Lord like never before. May we dedicate ourselves to the Lord like never before. And may we not just simply go well for a little time and then give up, but may we stick out the work and stay out the work and battle on in the work. We see his godly influence, his genuine interest, but Finally, as we close, notice his greatest instruction. You see, throughout the life of Elisha, we've been instructed on many different things: the need to work and labor for God, the need to labor and to be determined in that work, the need to have a heart and a vision for the work of God. But perhaps it is through his death that we get his greatest instruction here. Because as we close this morning, notice this voice from beyond the grave. Notice the instruction here from the cemetery. There's instruction here concerning certainty. Certainty. Look at verse 20. And Elisha died. And Elisha died. You know, every time we attend a funeral, we are given a reminder that there's only one certainty in life, and that's death. Something very solemn and somber about those words, and Elisha died. Here is life's certainty. We must all needs die. And the statistics are very sure. One in every one dies. And I wonder this morning, has that reality ever sunk into your heart and mind? That one day your life on this earth will come to an end. And then where will you be in God's eternity? And Elisha died, and one day it will be said of you, and they died. But where will you be 5 minutes after you die? Where will you be when you breathe your last and you go out into this world, into God's great eternity? Where will you be with Christ in heaven or without him in hell? Oh, that today you might realize that you have a soul that lives on. You have a body that will perish and corrupt in the grave. But you have a soul that lives on. And are today you ready to meet God? What great instruction here, even from the death of Elisha. He died. Reminding us of the certainty in life. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You don't die like a dog. And then that's it. No. There is life after this life. And where will you be? You ready to meet God? Are you saved? You see, not only his greatest instruction in the certainty here, but also in the reality. A most unusual event takes place in verse 21 at the graveside of Elisha. Because in verse 21 we read that as they were burying Elisha, we find a group of men, a group of pallbearers, and they were carrying another man to his grave as well. In verse 20 we read about how the Moabites had invaded the land, and obviously there were fatalities, bodies that had to be buried. But clearly, as we come into verse 21, they couldn't even bury their dead in peace. The Moabites were on the attack. And we read that in verse 21, the second half of the verse, they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. Hurriedly and for fear of the Moabites, they just simply put the dead man's body into Elisha's sepulchre. But look what happened. The end of verse 21, when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Here's Elisha's final miracle, and here's proof that it wasn't Elisha, because he's dead now. It was the power of God. Here's another miracle. Not performed through a man, but performed through the Lord. What's that all about? It seems the most strange event and occurrence. It's reminding us today. It was reminding the people. Elisha may be dead, but God of Elisha still lives. The power of God is still at work. And that God was still acting and working on behalf of his people. God was reminding the people, even through this remarkable miracle of this dead man made alive, that he was still almighty. He's still all powerful. There's another wonderful gospel application there. Because alone and only through the power of God can a sinner who is dead in their sin be made alive in Jesus Christ. By the power of God. One preacher has called this the blessing from the bones. Elisha left behind a tremendous legacy and a godly influence. His testimony lived on even after he died. But it was a testimony not to the power of Elisha, but the testimony to the power of God. Someone has said, and it's very true, that Elisha had more power dead than many preachers have alive. And you know, folks, sometimes that's true. Maybe a lot of the time that's true. The martyrs did more for Christ by their death than they did in their life. Patrick Hamilton was the first martyr in Scotland for the cause of the Reformation. His death didn't hinder the gospel going forth. His death helped it. Gave it a mighty impulse forward. Luke Short was an English man who emigrated to America in the late 18th century. For 103 years, he lived without God. One hot afternoon, he was sitting under a tree in Virginia where he was living, and just sitting there, he remembered a sermon that he had heard preached by the great Puritan John Flavel. He had heard John Flavel preach back in Plymouth in England when he was a boy. And that was some 90 years before, because John Flavel had been long since dead by that time. And that man, Luke Short, sitting under that tree, remembered those 90 years before what John Flavel had been preaching and the gospel that he had heard that day. It was 90 years ago, and that day Luke Short got saved. At 103 years of age. John Flavel was long since dead. But God's word lived on. It is said that on Luke Short's gravestone there is this epitaph. Here lies the body of Luke Short. Aged to nature 106 years. Aged according to grace, 3 years. Because a man such as John Flavel was sold out for God as well. His word lived on. As we leave the life of Elisha, we leave the study. I wonder what they will say about us after we're gone. Oh, they were a good person. They weren't such a bad fellow after all. Folks, our testimony should be to our service and our work for God. C.T. Studd said, let us not rust out, but let us glide through this world and then slip quietly out of it without having blown the trumpet loud and long for our blessed Master. He said this. At the very least, let us see to it that when the devil gets news of our departure from the battlefield, he throws a Thanksgiving party in hell. I wonder, will it be said of you and me, as it could be said of Elisha, that he being dead, yet speaketh. May we live lives that are out for God, sold out for God even as Elisha's was, that the testimony we leave behind is a testimony to God and His power in our lives. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that You be pleased to write Thy word upon our hearts.